Okay, hello again, everyone. I so enjoyed visiting with you before we were officially started today, and I want to encourage as many people as possible to come in early and make friends, join the community, feel just a personal part of all of this. You know, I had while I was in my alpha time this morning, I was thinking about our blessing and how wonderful these Sundays are, and I started counting back to when it all began, and I have counted to a very special day today, and that would be our 250th official blessing since we began. Isn't that amazing? 250, and that does not count all of the ones that we have done for storms and holidays and that our blessing givers have done, or that we've done at blessing conferences. I'm sure if we counted all the ones done by blessing givers, we're into the thousands by now. And what a difference this is making. It's like taking prayer. You know, this is what I tell people sometimes when they ask, well, what is a blessing? And I'll say, well, God's love is an ongoing blessing. The Holy Spirit is an ongoing blessing. Yeshua in our heart is a blessing. But sometimes we don't feel it. And sometimes we don't activate it. So what our blessing is a way of activating and receiving all the blessings that have been given to us and passing them on to others. It's really turning prayer into an active form. And I think that's perhaps just the simplest way of describing it. And, of course, those of you who've been in the Blessing Conference understand the way we actually tap into the very nature and construction of the body, our DNA and its relationship to the universe, to do that activation. So it's really the full activation of prayer, if I were going to give it a short description. And we already know how important prayer is in changing lives, healing lives, bringing happiness and fulfillment. So let's just take that and turn it into the activated form, and that's what we have in our blessing. So thank you so much for joining us, and since, of course, we are celebrating the activation of the prayers of our heart, how much more important it is to have community and for so many people to join together all around the world on these special days where we do come together. I want to announce, blessing givers, be sure and watch your email, either for later today or tomorrow, depending on how soon I can get the letter prepared, announcing a call for us to get together this coming Saturday. Of course, that will be a little different for those of you in Europe or Australia or other parts of Asia, where it might be Monday for you. But what I had in mind was December the 8th. We need to conference on our celebration of both Christmas and the solstice. And we need to get caught up from our last blessing conference to check in with everyone on how you're doing. I like to give people at least 2 weeks to be back home in the field, getting familiar with it in terms of your own body language, your own climate, your own field of love. And then we get together and we go through all the oops conversations of, oh, I forgot that. Oh yeah, I knew there was something I was supposed to do there. And Glenda, by the way, why is this happening? You know, this sort of thing. So we do our first jam session on how we get it all back together from the perspective of our life where we live it. And so that will be very important for our new blessing givers, and we're going to spend time with all of our blessing givers on making plans for the solstice blessing and our Christmas blessings. So I would say that it'll be a full hour, I'm sure, by the time we cover all points. If you're a new blessing giver, be sure and be early on the call, because that's what we'll take up first. If you're a senior blessing giver, one who's been around for a while, a veteran, who's gone through the paces, but you want to be part of developing our program for the solstice and Christmas, then you might come in on the 30-minute mark. So I'll give you those options in our email. So be sure and check your email so that you can be on that call. It's a very, very important time for us to get together as blessing givers and offer our prayers of activation for the world, regardless of what will or won't happen on the solstice. 2012, December 21st, at the very least, a lot of people are expecting something to happen. And we focus love into people's expectations to help them have the very best of what they're expecting. Just like we celebrate national and international events, even if we personally don't much care about them, I think, for example, we should get together for Super Bowl. Not because I really care that much about football anymore. I used to when I taught at the university and actually had national champion football players in my art history class, and we had to find a way of speaking the same language, and we got to know each other and become good friends, and they gave me 50-yard line tickets, and it was so much fun being part of it. At this point in my life, I'm not really much into that, but what I am into, and I hope all of you will be too, is whatever calls people together in a common purpose that elicits their enthusiasm can be elevated to a higher level of love. You see, sometimes all we need is positive energy to work with. And we infuse that with love. And it's amazing how you could turn a Super Bowl into a super event for the planet. So we don't judge. We just, as blessing givers, we don't judge. If children are having a soccer meet and they're just totally into it, if it's graduation time, if it's Father's Day, Mother's Day, 4th of July, Christmas, Memorial Day, other special days around the planet that call people, the Wesak celebration for the Buddhists, we focus on what calls people together for their energy of love. And we contribute love that elevates us all to the point where we're really above agendas. You see, we're not I'd like to rephrase that and say, we will arrive at the place we're desiring when we rise above our agendas and let God create something even better for us. But sometimes we languish down on the earth plane, either in our lounge chair, our bed, or our pity pot, grieving over the fact that we don't have enough energy, enough enthusiasm, enough desire, enough orientation, we're confused, we don't even know what to pray for. And so we get lost in our lethargy. But how wonderful it is to take any situation of great energy. I saw some birds migrating over Sedona one day. They were coming in with such an enormous cloud of, well, it actually almost looked like a storm cloud coming up. I looked over the eastern horizon and I noticed the stark contrast between the black on the eastern horizon and the bright, clear sky everywhere else, and I thought, oh my gosh, what is coming about? And so I just sat out on my porch, and then I began to see, this is a migration of birds. Wow, totally amazing. And as I saw them circle in the sky, I could feel their energy of arrival, their energy of emergence, their energy of being together. And I just entered the spirit of their energy and offered a blessing. As I was offering a blessing, lifting my hands to the heavens, celebrating the releasing of the bird of spirit, they broke into swirling patterns as if they were dancing with the energy I was giving them. And they swirled around the red rocks and just swirled and swirled and then spread over the whole sky. It was an amazing event where I was giving forth my energy, the red rocks were giving forth their energy, and the birds received it and distributed it to the heavens. So we take what we're given to work with. And I'd say, as a general rule, that's a good thing to do all through your life. And if you notice carefully, this is what children do. Now, granted, children can get stubborn at times when they don't get what they want. They can get real positioned about wanting chocolate and not vanilla. You know that. Most of you have either been a parent, an aunt, uncle, or a grandparent. And you've been there. You've seen your little loved ones. But it does. If you also noticed that it only takes the lightest and tiniest little shift of an attitude until they find the next thing to become excited about. And then all you have to do is focus a little energy on what they're excited about, and it's a whole new world. So, yes, they can become a little preferential and a little positioned at times. They can throw a drama at times, but that does not really describe a child's life. A child's life is really pretty much described by the butterfly or the hummingbird going from one flower to the next. And whichever flower has the nectar is the one that has their attention. We could learn a great deal about that. And we could actually use that as a way of accumulating energy for our life and directing that energy into further blessings for ourselves and others. So last time we focused upon about how our blessings accumulate over a period of time. And I was thinking about that message from last time, and that's what part of what caused me to go back and think about how many blessings have we offered now? Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking about how many spins of the potter's wheel have we been through. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Just come back. It doesn't cost you anything other than a few minutes and a little bit of phone time. And a lot of you have 3 minutes on the weekend, depending on what telephone plan you have. And it's the best thing you can do for yourself. Then receive and relax and allow it to build without expectation. But then as you go out into the day, as you go out after you've had your blessing and you've received it, allow your attention to carry you to high energy possibilities. It could be you're in the grocery store and you just gravitate toward the freshest fruit that's there. Or it could be that across the store you hear some people laughing and you seem to recognize a voice. You go over there and you remember you met one of these people at times. you might say something, I just can't stand not being part of your laughter. You make me want to laugh too. They'll probably share with you. Go to the meat counter. Get to know your butcher. Or, if you don't eat meat, go to your vegetable, produce manager and say, what's the best thing in the store? Strike up a conversation. Go to the park. Look for this person with, a dog that's just thoroughly enjoying himself. Or the birds in the trees. Allow yourself to gravitate toward the highest energy attraction you can. Now, to give you some larger understanding of that, if you will read Love Without End, the Expanded World Edition, I developed a little more on Yeshua's message about magnetics, something I did not put in the first one, because in the beginning I felt this was a little too scientific. If you may remember conversations that I've had in classes, I kept the scientific part pretty much aside for several years because I did not want to intimidate casual spiritual readers with information that I thought might be more than they needed to know or more than they would be interested in. However, the longer I was with this work and teaching it, the more I realized Yeshua didn't really reveal anything that wasn't important, and it wasn't for me to edit out anything. So I added to the magnetic energy, the magnetic description, a more complete description of magnetics in the original form of the universe as being attractor fields. You see, what we find mostly in magnetism at the level of structure and physical solids and physical objects and physical energy in the environment of our life is that magnetism is the result of electromagnetic polarity. And by that formula, magnetics is not a primary condition at all. However, in the beginning of all beginnings, there were attractor fields. And it was these attractor fields that actually broke the stasis of the infinite soup of infinite potential through love. And only through the energy of love did one thing or did one potential begin attracting itself to another? Did one soul begin attracting to another? Did one idea begin attracting to another? There were, long before there were any solid forms, there was attraction. And attraction was a direct product of love acting upon the infinite field of potential. And so attraction is a very basic action, especially in the field of consciousness, in the field of creation. Sometimes, even in this grosser world in which we live, we can break through our limitations in life by simply looking at what attracts us, or who attracts us, or ideas that attract us. We begin to create attraction fields. And these attraction fields are larger than any limited fields of energy that might be speaking to us as if, oh, I just can't do that. I don't have enough energy, don't have enough money, don't have enough support. How in the world am I ever going to heal from this illness? How am I ever going to endure this loneliness? How am I ever going to get through this job I hate? You know the list of all the how am I evers that we've all spoken at various times in our life. There's something rather miraculous about allowing ourselves to respond to attractor fields, because these attractor fields preceded all creation. They were at the very beginning of beginnings, when by the word of God, things were called into action. Things were called into form. This was long before we had electrical energy that polarized to form magnetism that we normally refer to as a magnet. You know, the kind of thing that if you put it next to iron, it'll pull iron filaments into it. That's a structural magnet. And actually, it works because of the polarity of electricity and magnetism. But long before the universe ever condensed into densities capable of creating that, there was this fluid, open potential that responded merely to a thought, an emanation of love, a calling, a feeling, a prayer. And think about how we could distribute our blessings and our prayers and our love, our feelings, into that open field of possibility. Simply being attracted to an ideal, an opportunity, a desire, a perfect state of being. I would ask today that when you go into your heart for our blessing, to receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit, that you simply surrender into this ideal place where you allow yourself to perfectly become attracted to the desires of your heart, the desires of your life, the highest ideals you would ever seek. Allow yourself to be attracted to the presence and light of God, to the love of that which you most desire or most wish to give. Just allow yourself to enjoy the bliss of attraction, and allow that attraction to bring to you everything that you need. Now, I painted a very perfect, ideal picture by saying that. And I want to now draw a contrasting picture. And that is that when we're in pain, when we're in stress, when we're in doubt, when we're hurting, when we're worried, when we're struggling, when we don't have the answers, and when we're surrounded by all the things we don't want, the last thing we want to do is attract anything. We stop attracting. It's like we walk into a room full of people we feel uncomfortable with, and we don't want to attract attention. We want to walk through that room anonymously, inconspicuously, get in and out as fast as we can. Like, again, to use the, we're in town, we go into the post office to go to our mailbox, and we see someone in the post office that works in our office we don't get along with. We'd rather not see that person, but we need to get our mail. We put our colored glasses on, pull our hat down, turn our face away, and we walk to the mailbox as fast as we can. We walk out as fast as we can. We drive away. Okay? Well, this is what our life is like when we're inside of all these predicaments we don't like. We don't want to attract anything, because the last thing we want to attract is more of all the bad stuff we already have too much of. I know if you were in the room and I asked for a show of hands, everybody would be raising your hand. That's a natural human response. But what we lose is our ability to join with God in the great attractive field of infinite possibility. We get locked below a dark ceiling where we're closed into a world of limitation. And this, unfortunately, is what happens when we pray from our problems, when we voice our problems, when we shout our problems. Now, I admit, based on some very powerful therapeutic moments I have had, it sometimes is very, very healthy just to go to a place where no one can hear you and you just shout the roof off about your problems. But you do it in order to clear your problems, to release them, to let go of them, to just let yourself be with God and just say, okay, here's where I am, O Lord. I really, really am having problems in this. Can you just hear me for a moment? But your whole intention is letting go. Your intention is not asking. I hope you see the difference. Your intention is releasing. Sometimes it's important to go to the mountaintop and just release. Let go. Be in your private place. Release, let go. But when you're asking, don't ask from the level of your problems, because you actually have a built-in defense mechanism that causes you to not attract anything when you're inside your problems. You need to go to this place where you're open and ready to attract. So I want you to prepare yourself now. I actually opened for questions, but nobody joined in, and we're so close to being at our blessing time. I think I'll just take you on a guided meditation. I want you just to go ahead and take your shoes and socks off. Sit in your chair in a comfortably erect position. And I want you to inventory any problem you might have, or any hurt or loneliness or difficulty you might be having, and say to it now, I know you're there. I'll deal with you later. This is my time with God. I know you're important. I'm not abandoning you. We're going to address what is the real core of this problem. I forgive you. I love you. And I ask you to forgive me that I haven't solved you yet. I know you're clamoring for my attention because I haven't had the answers. But for now, this is my time with God. I ask that you would relax and take a walk. I would ask that you go and be with whatever you belong to for the moment. That you would return to your place and allow me to be in my place. Allow me to be here. And now I enter the heart where all light is sacred and I am one with God. Here everything is unconditional. It doesn't matter if I have a problem or a solution because there are no conditions here. In this place, I am one with all possibility. I am one with all creativity. I am one with infinity. I am one with love. And so it is. Here I see, through the light, the face of Yeshua. Here I see in the light the glimmering silvery rays of the Holy Spirit. Allow them to bathe me with all possibilities. I cannot see the face of God, for it is greater than all things. And yet, God sees in my face the face of all possibility. And I am happy. I am happy to be known by my Creator, who loves me no matter what, who is allowing me to have this very special, precious experience on earth, and wishes for me all the very best. I give thanks that this place of unconditional love is always available for me to enter, regardless of whether I have problems or solutions or whatever I need. I pray, O God, to be in this place where all prayers are heard as being complete, without ever having to address a problem. All needs are given, no matter what. All answers to needs are given, no matter what. All blessings are offered for us to sit at the table and to select from the banquet of infinite supply that to which we are attracted. In this field of infinite possibility, allow us to feel our attraction newly again, as if we were a child choosing our life, choosing our friends, choosing our next delight, enjoying even the cold on a winter day, because even cold wasn't cold compared to the delight of our heart. Playing in a running stream, not feeling its coldness upon our feet, because the warmth of our youth is all we feel. Feeling the joy of every possible moment, and only the joy filling our heart. In this place of delight, in this place of open possibility, where we may be attracted to anything, I ask that you follow your attraction, your calling from God, and allow that to be the prayer of your heart, as I give invocation to Yeshua. And then the blessing givers and I will conduct the blessing for 3 minutes or thereabouts. We'll let you know when it's done. And then you go and receive and enjoy all that you have attracted to yourself. Dear Yeshua, thank you for opening our hearts to the blessings of God, to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to the abundance of our natural supply. Thank you for helping us to see our innate unity with God, that we still are blessed and always are one with God, despite our problems or our illusion of need or separation. Help us to see the truth and letting go of the illusions, that we may follow our attraction to the greatest and best for our life. Amen. your blessing is complete. Now I ask you to go and rest and receive for at least 7 minutes. Know that you're very loved. God loves you. I love you. And I look forward to hearing your wonderful, sweet voice back next week. Bye-bye.